Do I have a motion that for to approve the minutes from March 4th?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Highway.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Okay, a few items. First one, we're requesting to add one diesel-powered XL brush wood chipper to major equipment in the amount of $64,912.26. With the tree program you folks initiated, we have more use for chippers now because we're going after it so hard. We did have some additional, there would be no extra funds needed, will be needed. We had purchases of other equipment that had come in under budget. This wood chipper has a higher horsepower and a larger opening. Be able to move a little bit faster with it and get it out to another crew. So that's that request.
So moved.
Second.
How are we doing on this tree trimming deal?
We're into thousands of trees now that are down between our folks and the contract. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
The biggest challenge we're facing now is getting stuff after it's knocked down, getting stuff in a timely fashion picked up. You know, we've had some calls or concerns why we leave some of the stuff, and we explained to the folks that some people want it left on their property for their own use. Then there's the other side of chipping the brush and handling the stuff. So, but it's gone well. It's doing what it's supposed to be doing.
So are we trucking the chips away, or are we just blowing it on the bank there? I mean,
again, if it's too egregious, Mr. Nichols, if it's too egregious, and it looks nasty, we'll use our judgment, okay. Pull it. Or if there's a concern from a homeowner, we do what we can to accommodate the, you know, the landowners. I'm sorry. Homeowner.
Okay. Do you anticipate that this will be an ongoing program each year?
I would say for the upcoming years, yes, just based on the amount of trees and volumes that you folks see along your roads. I think it would be wise of us to maintain it and keep doing what we're doing. It's having an impact. It's having an impact that we get to see, which is nice for once with all the money we spend.
Okay. Did I get a second on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries.
Next item with landfill. Good topic here. Reviewing tip fees. Today we wanted to present the proposed tip fee increase for the 2024 and 2025. Before we get into a huge discussion with this, we thought that it would be a good time for Tammy to provide some overview of the financials and the landfill health or financial health of the landfill at this point and where we're at and what drove us to this point. Thanks, Tammy. She wouldn't let me talk.
I would. Might have to poke you a couple times is all. So for 2023, we spent a bunch of money on the cells, the new cells. Roughing out the actual cash impact of that, we spent about, in 2023, about $14 million, just a little over $14 million. Now, when Bonadio presents the financial statements, you'll see a loss of about $4 million, a little more, somewhere in the range of $4 million loss. But that's not the cash loss. So the cash that we actually spent was the $14 million. So what Jack and Eric had asked that I do is to scope out what our cash might be over the next 4 years, because we're going to need another cell in about 4 years. So taking all of the projections related to the tip increase, changing all of our expenses to basically cash-based instead of a lot of the year-end adjustments that we do related to depreciation and post-closure and, OPEB and all of the GASB requirements that have no impact on cash. So I pulled all that stuff out, picked up 2022 as the best last year that we had for revenue, because for 2023, our revenue was down quite a bit because we had to turn off deliveries just because of the delays with the DEC and such. So I projected out the revenues, again, using 2022. I also used 2022 expenses, again, to represent a more realistic expense level than 2023. And doing all that, it looks like over the course of the next 4 years, we will generate in cash, again, with the increase in the tip fees. And just wildly guessing the capital expenditures that we'll have between now and 4 years out, It looks like we can generate just about enough, maybe a little extra, depending on how the bids come in for the next cell, to be able to do that, to be able to do the next cell with the increases that we're going to be looking at. The cash increase each year is about a little over 2 million. There's 2.7, 2.4, 3 million, 2.6. So we'll generate in cash related to just our cash activities about the 10 million to be able to pull off doing the next cell, assuming it's coming in at about 10 million.
So we thought this was important to bring up to you because for those of you that have been on the legislature for a long time and for the new members as well, we talked about, you know, how we have sufficient funding for post-closure expenses and all those things. But, you know, on the balance sheet, I mean, we have a lot of liability too, but, you know, that landfill is a heck of an asset if, you know, we ever had to sell. Not saying we would. But cash position at the end of the day is ultimately key, mm-hmm. because if we run out of cash, then we're talking about general fund bonding, whatever. And we spent this cell based on everything that happened with DEC, based upon the bedrock that, you know, was very expensive to be able to deal with. And we don't expect, based on the geological surveys, that in the next cells to the east. But we wanted to let you know cash position is not as strong as it once was because of the fact that we spent $18 million essentially on a couple new cells. So we need to replenish that. It's been a number of years since we did meaningful tip fee increases. We've been meeting with Eric and Steve and Billy and the whole crew to talk about this, and Andy and others, but it's time to keep a close eye on the cash position.
Okay. Anything else, Kelly?
When is the last time we increased the tip fees?
2022, we did a short piece of them, a couple of them. And then 2016, we went through and revamped them all like we're trying to do at this point. So 2016, really.
And the market has significantly changed. And, you know, there's comparison price. We don't have the comparison prices here, I don't think. But, you know, our first question to these folks is we don't want to increase, number one, be sensitive on, you know, our residents and people who bring, who utilize our landfill or who have haulers who utilize our landfill. But for the Casellas of the world and the Lippincotts and the others that can take them to landfills outside of the area, we don't want to price ourselves out. But Eric and Steve have assured me that, and they provided some comparisons that even with these changes, we are well below market. So we are still a very affordable and responsible landfill.
Yeah, I was noticing that on the special fees, they're going up by about 50%.
Yeah, they're all so examples back. Yes, you're right in saying that, Fred. Back springs, you know, big stuff, mattress, couches, Freon, dig out fee for an example. I witnessed it myself when I had a trailer up there at one point, and you know, there's some exposure to that point and digging them out. Certified scale weight. The big one is radiation. Surcharge. We didn't have a charge before. And in speaking to, you know, counterparts that do what we do, the time where you, if you hit hot for, sorry, Steve, I'm losing a blank here. What if we have medical waste in a load or something? It's got to be pulled aside. It's got to be separated. We have to wait. There's a lot of time. So this is what other folks are doing as well. And again, this doesn't, to Jack's point, what we're pushing here primarily is, you know, there's a dollar increase on the bagged stuff, which is minor overall. It does add up, but it's minor. And then the commercial residential, the commercial haulers that still maybe have folks at home field a little bit, that's only going up $4 a ton from 44 to 48. So again, to Jack, we focused on the special fees as well as some of more industrial level removal versus, you know, stuff that's going to hit home right away on people.
So the dig out fee is if somebody gets stuck up there?
Yeah, so if you have a dump trailer in the air, froze, they left stuff in there that was wet. The demolition job is how I experienced it. It froze in the back, then you're up in the air and you got an excavator digging. It just, okay. They got to claw it out, you know.
Understood.
Yeah, it's a bit, a little bit of exposure.
Okay. Any further discussion? Wendy?
I'm okay with all of the increases except for the bag fee. I think that should stay at the $3 at this time. There's so many people already stretching their budgets for so many different things. That dollar, extra dollar per bag can make the difference for an elderly person that's trying to get their medication that's going to cost them $2 or $3 versus getting rid of their garbage. And the way everything else has been going up and up and up and up, I think that one is the one that we can afford to keep to $3 for at least a couple more years and let things stabilize out a little bit more. My own opinion.
Yeah, again, you know, that's why we're bringing it to you folks, you know, to have that discussion, what we can, what you guys can live with.
Do you have any idea how much the bag fees generate per year?
I do. I don't have those numbers within this file, but I do have them because we did bring them up. You got something, Steve?
Wasn't it like 185,000 ish, something like, yeah, 180 some thousand with a dollar increase. And what was, so the other, the Casella transfer stations, what was their bag fees?
The bag fees at Casella is ranging around $6 a bag. So we're right in the middle between $2 and $4, or $2 to $6 is what the industry standard is.
I stick with the fact I think it's say at $3 at this point for the bags. Everything else I have no problem going on.
Scott.
So regarding the entire fee change proposal and Tammy's comments, this is an enterprise fund. It has to be self-sustaining. It has to make enough money to not only operate each year, but to cover its own capital investments in the future and expansions. I'm fine with all these, including the additional dollar on a bag, because even if we priced ourselves to where Casella starts going elsewhere, that just means our cells last longer. So we would still be getting the larger fee to fill the cell. Might not be in 3 years, it might be in 4 years, but we have to worry about being profitable because we don't want to start funding this enterprise fund with our general fund.
Yes, Kelly.
I would like to agree with Mr. Van Etten's comments. I think that an elderly person is likely not the one who's driving up to the landfill all the way out there to drop off a bag of garbage, that there are other opportunities that are closer. And if they're paying the bag fee to take it to Casella's and it's more expensive, this bag fee option isn't going to change that. But you're right. We have to understand this is an enterprise fund. It needs to generate enough revenue to pay its expenses. And our expenses go up every year. We give pay raises, insurances go up, benefits cost more. So I think this is an important step.
Sounds like if we kept the bag fee the same, we'd have to generate that revenue from some other source through another fee. Any further discussion?
I have a question on radiation. I'm not opposed to $500. If you get medical radiation junk in the truck, you have to sort it out. What do you do with the radiation stuff then?
We locate it and find it. And sometimes, for lack of a better description for you, sometimes it's just adult clothing that someone was in, you know, at home being treated or had treated chemo or something of that nature. And it's something small and they isolate it and they can say where it came from just so it's not a more of a major risk or exposure.
So
yeah.
So Steve, do can we step put up it here in our landfill or do you send it to a special radiation place?
The way the radiation works is we have the monitors on the scales. So when a vehicle comes through, there's a hit, it'll signal the scale house.
Yeah.
So what we do from there, we have to then go back through and isolate whether it's a person that's had some sort of treatment or if it's something within the load. So once we isolate it out and we figure out it's something in the load, we isolate that load. We go around with hand meters, check the loads. And when we get to a point, we have to go out in the landfill and dump the trailer and sort through all that garbage to find the source. Mm-hmm. which we've done a few times.
Mm-hmm.
It's come down to like a piece of chewing gum or a medical bracelet that somebody had on. Wow. And inside of, you know, one of those big walking floor trailers. So it's pretty sensitive equipment. So with that, we get all our readings. We used to be able to just kind of clear it with communication with DEC. Now we have to take our readings, send them to DEC. DEC has to then review them and then identify what our isotopes are and then what we could do with them. So if it's like a medical, then they'll release it and say it can be landfilled. If it's something more serious, then we got to put it back on their vehicles, hold the vehicle. And then DEC's got to work with DOT to get proper shipping papers to transport this stuff out to a appropriate facility.
And it sounded like some of the private landfills were quite a bit more expensive than this for that kind
of. How many instances of this would you have in a year?
We usually have 1 to 2. Yeah. That's usually your commercial load type stuff. It's just a way to do it. So what we were starting to see a little bit was some of the waste might have got picked up at another site. So then they started sending it to us because we don't have any surcharge. So then we get caught having to go back through and sort this stuff that they knowingly send. So it's kind of a deterrent from the commercial side. So it wouldn't affect any like the residential folks.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody in their car had something in their basement come through, tripped a meter, we certainly wouldn't charge a resident the $500 surcharge. So it's just for commercial-based operations.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to the $500. I just want to know how you handled it.
Yep. So that's kind of how we handle the DEC. So we had changed some of our protocol last year with the DEC.
Yeah, that just came into effect, right, Riley?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the tip fees as they're listed?
I'll make a motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, it carries.
Thank you. Bids. So pavement marking, is this something you want to go through all and approve and ask questions at the end?
I
would recommend that.
How the committee wants to do that? Review them all and approve them at the end? Yes.
Okay. So first one, pavement marking and painting. We recommend extending the pavement marking to Zebra, extending the contract to Zebra paint striping in the amount of $11,995. This is our first extension of the last 3-year term, and there is no increase from last year's pricing on this. So it's a reasonable number. Next, Freon removal and recycling RFP. We recommend awarding Enviro Pro Refrigerant Recycling as a low bidder in the amount of $54,874.25 as calculated by Steuben County. They currently have the contract and they've provided good service. The higher bidder was Interstate Refrigeration Recovery in the amount of $66,180. Next item, gravel and stone crushing. We are recommending to reject this bid due to budget amounts. Heavy steel pipe and boiler shells. We recommend awarding to multiple bidders per line item and based on lowest price and availability. Asphalt milling. We recommend awarding to multiple bidders based on lowest price and availability as well. Pavement grinding, we recommend awarding to Suit Coat Corporation, sole bidder as indicated per rental period on our bid. This is an increase of about $100 from last year per day for operation for them as well, as far as increases are concerned. Landfill litter fence and, excuse me, installation, we recommend awarding to Dilcher Excavating in contracting the lowest bidder in the amount of $265,180. This stems from the New York DEC required that a perimeter fence be constructed around the expansion area. We are constructing a new fence to the south of the expansion area and replacing some old damaged portions, netting, and this east side. There are funds available in the Cell 78 capital project to complete this project. Next thing, landfill gas, well-filled operation and maintenance, RFP. You folks are all aware of the more gas we can obtain from our landfill for WAGA purposes, the more successful we'll be as a group. So we received two proposals for landfill gas, well-filled operation and maintenance. The proposal review team recommends awarding the contract to Monitoring Controls and Compliance, Inc., MCC, for a term of 5 years. MCC provided comprehensive work plan that satisfied the requirements of the RFP. It's qualified staff with extensive experience in well field management. We've had good positive feedback from the DEC on these folks, as well as our engineering firm, BNL. They came highly recommended. They're experts on troubleshooting on gas production and gas production issues and addressing those issues. Dilcher did not provide a work plan. They did not provide any information on the staff, didn't demonstrate experience with the technical management of landfill gas well fields. And speaking with them, it sounds like they're more a contractor to install stuff, not necessarily dig in and fine tune our gas collection piece. So per the agreement, WAGA will make a fixed annual payment of $75,000 for the well field improvements, which will offset the annual operation and maintenance expense. So the goal is to maximize the output of landfill gas. We have all been sending landfill gas to WAGA for the past 2 weeks. So that's good. We're fully at 100% injection. So we should see some turnaround on this. So our recommendation is said we'd recommend awarding this RFP to MCC. Yes, that's all I have on that.
About the new structural steel.
New structural steel. We recommend awarding Shimung Supply Corp. sole bidder for the new structural steel in the amount of $47,879. This is as needed basis for quantities if we come across that our townships need it. Overhead garage door service and repair. We recommend awarding Overhead Door Company of Elmira as the lowest bidder for overhead garage door services and repairs. Turned line item. Hourly rate with a 20% fixed percentage above cost for parts and material. Parts for CAT 963K LBL 01017 with a heavy duty waste handling undercarriage. It's a 2019 model year. It's up at the landfill. It's currently got 8,400 hours on it. We recommend awarding Monroe Tractor as the lowest bidder for parts for the CAT 963K with a heavy duty waste handling undercarriage in the amount of $20,484.43. The current track has about 3,000 hours on it. This is our third set of tracks we put on this machine, so it's definitely getting worked. Portable toilet rentals extension. We recommend extending this bid to the lowest bidder based on each line item for the lowest price and availability. This is our last year to extend this bid. That's what I have for bids.
Okay. I have a motion to pull 5C from the bid. Rejecting it.
So moved.
Second.
A second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Do I have a motion to approve the rest of the bid?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Carries.
Can I just ask a question about the first bid, Zebra paint striping? What does that $11,900 encompass? What are they striping?
Stuff that we can't, just a second, Scott.
It's surprising that it's a fixed amount unless it's a predetermined project.
What is this, like crosswalks and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's what it was. Railroad, yes, Bob. Railroad crossings specialized that we have to do, that we have scheduled out to do, that we're responsible for.
Because we got our own truck to do the main roads.
Yes, yes. Just the hashing and stuff is.
This is like sidewalk out here on the street and
stuff that we're not set up to do. Correct.
Yeah.
Can I also ask one more question? In Tammy's analysis of the financial operations, what is the assumption you're using for WAGA income?
We budgeted $75K. We talked about, you know, in Tammy's estimates, maybe, I don't know, do you use 125? We talked about, because there are additives based upon the targets that we hit. We know we're going to get the 75. We talked about not getting too aggressive in estimating the other. So maybe 50K a year.
Okay.
So is this company we just approved, most of all the money's going to go for that?
Yeah, most of the 75 each year will go towards well field maintenance. You know, so we will have those expense to maximize the return of the gas. 50 we think is pretty conservative, probably not for 24, but in the future, if it does what WAGA thinks it's going to do and what we think it's going to do, it could be a few hundred thousand dollars.
And Bob, to that point, with it, without getting too deep in the weeds with this thing, so that RFP with those folks, it's an hourly rate based on what our operations are. They were pretty in depth, went through it, spoke to our staff. They know about everything that we're dealing with. If we feel like we're making good headway, making good grounds, and we don't necessarily need those folks, you know, they said people do it all the time. We get people straightened out. There's certain portions you might want to keep us on for. There's certain portions you may not. Billy and his team up in the field itself do a wonderful job. So this is just a piece that they've never actually been shown per se. And it maybe wasn't, you know, entirely till this WAGA came up that how important and what we can extract. So it's a give take.
I'm in full favor of this bid because we never produced the gas we were supposed to when we were in partners with SREC. I mean, they were supposed to even go to three engines. And they never really got enough gas for two. So we need this company to do this. I'm convinced of that because we never lived up to what was supposed to happen with SREC making electric. That just, so we need this company to do this. There's no question in my
mind. I think after that piece too, Bob, that's Steve and them started digging in and to not go down that same road. Yeah. The importance of this. Yeah.
We need to fulfill the amount of gas that we projected we were going to do, which we never did before. And I think you need these folks to do that.
Okay. Do you have anything else, Eric?
No, I'm all set on my end.
Position?
Oh, that's personnel end.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I do, Bob. I'm glad I told you because you reminded me. Communication out at the shop. Sorry, Nate. I had too much candy yesterday with the kids with the bunny. So out at all locations, Mount Wash, Curtis, Caton. Thank you. We had communication issues out there just because of the role setting. We came to Chris and to IT and asked if we could possibly do something to try to get fiber hooked directly to the buildings for communication, internet access, stuff of that nature. It's pretty important. In doing this, IT put out an RFP. Pricing came back pretty heavy to get hooked up at Caton and Curtis, like hundreds of thousands, 110 plus or minus for both locations. So what I'm coming to you folks for is approval to just to utilize the Southern Tier Fiber project line that we have, and allow us to spend $7,196 for the Mount Wash location. That'll allow us to get that one hardwired in. And working with Rob and IT, the other two locations, we're going to look for a satellite option with either a dish setup or a Starlink setup. And Rob at this point is getting quotes and vetting that option as we speak. To avoid those expense, that initial infrastructure cost of $100,000 and $115,000 per Caton and Curtis location. Unfortunately,
it's just too far
of a run.
Couple miles in both cases, and at $45,000 a mile, that the providers are going to get good providers, but man, that's a lot of months to recapture that. And so, what we talked about is rejecting the RFP. Doing Starlink or, you know, whatever Rob and Cody work on to get them better service. And then who knows in the future with all the Fed money and state money that's coming down, you know, hopefully fiber infrastructure is closer, you know, down the road. So maybe we're going half a mile instead, and then it would make sense. So that'd be a recommendation to reject the two fiber RFPs
for Curtis and Caton shop,
and then approve the one for.
They can do that within their operating budget, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I'll make motion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Personnel.
Well, stay right here. Let them beat you up, not me. So. Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We're asking to reclassify one currently filled automotive mechanic, CSEA grade I, to an automotive, a landfill automotive mechanic supervisor, CSEA grade J. And this has been a while coming. Obviously, we have mechanics up at the landfill. We have a lot of equipment up there that needs to be maintained. And there's a need for some supervisory up there, but this is also a working supervisor, so they will still be acting as a mechanic and so on and so forth. And I don't know if you have.
Yeah, no, Nate hit the basis of it. There's a gentleman up there right now that we're going to appoint if this comes to fruition. He's doing all the ordering, all the stock, all the handling, putting tracks on, directing folks within it, whether we have a laborer up there and with him. We do have another mechanic that works with him. He's controlling everything almost at a way smaller level, almost the same that they do down at Mount Wash, but solely for the landfill equipment, obviously. They work with Jerry when they need to, an outside contractor source, but someone really has to have, you know, the planning based in the day-to-day operation of what's coming in broken, what got broke over the weekend. And this is the position for that.
I'll make motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
You can take your pick. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? It carries.
Okay, and the next is a request to create a safety and training specialist position, CSEA grade J. This is another one that's been in talks for quite some time. As you know, safety is a big deal in public works and everywhere else. But also we have the where we're doing the training for the CDL licenses. This person would do that as well as keep up with OSHA and PESH regulations, do trainings, make sure we're following, you know, full safety position, essentially is what we're.
Yeah, to Nate's point, just to elaborate a little bit more, not spying, but they're going to do safety audit checks with construction. Our folks that are out doing construction, cutting trees, road projects, our contractors that are on site. This individual also is going to have a little bit of flex to still, if need be, fill in at a transfer station or the landfill to continue to do that work as well in the slower periods. But it gives us an option to work with Scott Sprague and have him directly in link with PERMA and get a line. So it'll be a blended position and cover a lot of up and coming things that these industries face that we haven't solely nailed down on someone to keep an eye on this stuff. Okay. And again, more field based than office.
Is there funding for this?
Yeah. Yeah. We certainly have enough funding. It's a reclassification. Well, it's creation of a position, but we certainly have funding for it.
Okay.
Never. So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion?
I'm actually surprised with the size of your division or group that we haven't had one. Any large contractor that's in the area has their own.
And this is something, like I say, we've been talking about quite a bit, even before Eric took over, was something that we thought it was a good idea, but, you know, needed to figure out exactly how to do it. And I think with this CDL training program too, this, it just molds everything so perfectly. So it, yeah, I agree.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carries. Anything else, Jack?
Nope.
Okay.
So moved.
I have a question.
Nope.
Go ahead, Shirley.
So close.
I don't know if this is something to bring up in this one because I know I brought it up in the AIP, but the whole thing in Wayland with the Route 21 and Michigan Street. Now I was notified Friday that everything is in the works of it, but now they're estimating $500,000 for the cost to widen the road. And the town of Wayland has discussed of putting funds towards that out of their budget, but they didn't know if it's something the county can step in and assist also.
So the only other time we were approached, to my recollection, about something like this with helping was out here on 54 with Amazon. And we worked, that was an allocation to the IDA. So I believe we could reach out to Jamie to see, to kind of follow.
I talked to him after AIP the one day, but since then, now this was just told to me Friday.
Okay. So I'll have a conversation with Jamie and see, because he's normally the one on, he's not technically a county employee, but the IDA is a creature of the county. So I'll talk to Jamie about it and find out where it's at and what a request would be, because the request actually came from Amazon. So to follow kind of a similar process that we've done in the past, I can get that information and then probably would be AIP. But yeah, I can do that.
Okay. What about the Abby's garage in Whelan? It's the old junkyard. Nobody will touch it. It's been off the tax roll for multiple years. And there is squatters there living.
Mm.
There's got to be at least two campers and a house, and it should all be condemned.
Yeah, it was the Dolliver property. Is that the one?
It's on 63. Yes.
That is one that is going to go through the next in rem foreclosure proceeding. We didn't meet the deadline last year to get it in before the moratorium because we have an agreement in place with DEC that when we take title to it, we won't be holding the bag for any liabilities or pollution or anything in place. So that should get addressed in the next round of foreclosure, which will be later this year, some point.
Okay.
That's the one where Vince wanted to make a land.
It's been around forever. Yeah.
I've
but
been there and seen
have
that.
Like pending fines at DEC.
You and
does.
I both.
When we made our tour.
Yeah, we took control of the property for a couple of years under a court order and got a lot of tires and got a lot of it cleaned up. So those liens are on the property. So that was part of the negotiation with DEC that we don't have to pay those liens. We don't have to pay for anything under the property that we didn't discover. So it took a couple of years, but that should be at the end of the year.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of people living there.
I know. I keep getting reports from Senator O'Meara's office because everybody's calling there to complain, but we don't own it yet. So
Well, it's kind of in limbo.
Yeah, it's on hold, but it was one of those that we started right before COVID. And then COVID just put it on the back burner and hold because nobody could go out and do anything. And it's just been, you know, the perfect storm of what normally would have taken maybe 18 months has taken four
That's
or five
pretty
years.
Much when they all started moving in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Have a second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries.